By the way, everybody is talking about life lessons from yesterday. I got one to share on Saturday night. We went to ALCS Game 5. And there was a lesson learned in the game, and there was certainly a lesson learned after the game, because everybody talks about fans. We'll give you case in point coming up here at 7:20 about something I observed on Saturday night after that game with a lot of Yankees fans. 216-474-0092. At some point, like, I have to look forward to this. I know we spent an hour talking about, you know, is it the fans' fault? Is it not the fans' fault? It's not the fans' fault for anything. You're paying customers. You go there. I can't sit there and condone, and I wouldn't condone cheering for a guy getting hurt. But at the same time, I think fans, this is, I mean, you had fans in Texas throwing bottles on Saturday night at the refs, which is something we've been through before. Which
it worked. They got the call reversed.
You know, I mean, yeah, technically it did. You know, we've been through this a lot. And when you have 70,000 people, yeah, there's going to be some people. Do I think that all Texas fans are garbage? Nope. And I don't think that all Browns fans, by and large, I would say 99% of Browns fans are not garbage. I would say that there's always going to be a 1% out there that, yeah, probably wouldn't want to hang out with those people. Probably wouldn't want to be around them. But there we are. And I don't want to turn this. It sickens me that this is going to turn into fans versus players, because fans are going to remember this. And unless they change it, you know, there's plenty of fans out there. They did not celebrate in that. The vast majority of fans out there did not celebrate in what happened to Deshaun Watson out there on the field. And they will remember these comments and being talked down to. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. But at some point, I look at what this is. I don't know what the ramifications are. It seems trite at this moment, contractually, salary cap-wise, whatever. I've said it for weeks. Daniel Jeremiah said it himself. Like, with the way that was going, healthy or not, you're taking a quarterback. And the only way you're not taking a quarterback here is if Dorian Thompson-Robinson were to go out there and play. Now, he did not know. It's to my understanding, he did not know he was going to be the primary backup going into this one.
This was bizarre how this story unfolded. Yesterday, I think it was either Aditi, Adam Archuleta was on the broadcast too, and they were kind of talking about how DTR didn't find out till Friday. It was like this big surprise.
Why are we always surprising him?
And that not only was he going to be the backup, but I think more importantly, that they had it in the playbook that he was going to be used in certain packages.
Why?
So, I mean, they're a desperate team, so I can kind of understand. They had used Jameis in some packages, but those were short yardage and goal line. I can understand them looking for a spark. I can't understand not unveiling that to your player until Friday.
So this
he
is,
should know on Monday.
So they can say whatever they want to about this not being a white flag. This is full white flag. Because if you weren't raising a white flag, you would start the veteran. You would start, or you would have Jameis Winston ready. That would be the guy who would play, because he's a veteran. He would be more able to take care of the football than what you would have with a very young guy. Like, you can't tell me that. I don't understand that. Why do we always have to surprise Dorian Thompson-Robinson when he's going to play in an NFL game? And watching him yesterday, guys, that was all instinct. He was trying to ball out as best he could. I mean, you saw him putting his body on the line with every single play. Like, he was based on pure instinct.
He got
yesterday
helicoptered on the sidelines, yes, on one of those runs. They had a successful run in them that totally fooled Cincinnati, and clearly something Cincinnati wasn't prepared for, so maybe that was going to be part of the package that they had him. I wonder this, Kenny, like, was this the game they were ready to actually bench Deshaun?
When they came out and they said that he was going to be the backup, I talked to a member of the media that you will hear on the Fan eventually here, and he's like, they think that maybe DTR could be, as of right now, because Deshaun Watson going into the game was rattled and has been rattled, that maybe DTR is their brightest hope for their future.
Well,
so
and
when you say that, like, I thought that very well could be the game where, hey man, if he ain't gotten anything going at halftime, they could very well take him out and put in DTR.
Well, yeah, at 1-5 too, and just looking where they're at in the AFC and all of that. I know the players were talking about, hey, you've got finally divisional opponents coming up, because you got Cincinnati, you got Baltimore. But also, if you were starting to lose and it was going to go wayward during that game, well, now you're thinking you're 1-6. So what's it matter? And we have to see what we have in DTR. Going to Jameis doesn't even really make sense at that point.
Here's Kevin asked if DTR got reps in practice.
Did Dory get any reps with the ones in practice last week?
Yeah, our backups really don't get reps with the ones.
Okay, so there was no reps in practice.
And by the way, that's normal. pretty standard around the NFL.
But he didn't know on Monday that he could be.
That's what's amazing to me, because
even Wednesday,
they have people looking at tape of the Bengals really by the end of last week. That's typically how it works for the NFL. So they knew if there were going to be packages that DTR they thought could excel in and could trick Cincinnati. If we're just talking packages, not, hey, we might have him ready in case we want to go in another direction. Why wouldn't they put that on his radar on Monday so he can start practicing? Kenny, you know, there is a difference in this league. They say, hey, be ready. Be ready at any moment. But be ready at any moment is a little different from, hey, on Monday, be ready because we are calling your number. We are including your packages on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's different. Now you're mentally in a different headspace than, hey, you've got to be ready. You're a pro. We pay you. You got to be ready. That's different. Guys are not as ready unless you tell them, hey, we're going to have you in the packages this week.
Here's DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, when he found out he would be the number two QB.
I knew fairly later in the week. I'm still doing my normal routine, doing scout team, pushing those guys on defense. And I do all my extracurricular work, whether I'm a backup or not, to make sure I'm prepared for the game each week.
Okay, so he said, what, later in the week he found out? So, I don't, you know, Thursday, Friday. Hopefully it was Thursday better than Friday.
No, but yes, but on the broadcast, they said specifically Friday. So, okay. I mean, that is something that I'm surprised the Browns even admitted that.
I mean, you're a head coach of a football team. You're not David Copperfield here, guys. You got to let these guys know. You got to let these guys know.
Why wouldn't they have? Especially if they thought this was a secret weapon that could be used, that they saw on tape. This was finally the game. Because remember, this is the first time this year, right? It was Jameis. Jameis was the backup every single week.
Well, yeah. But when they're saying, well, it's not a fire sale after they trade Amari Cooper, who had two touchdowns yesterday,
by the way? Two? I thought he only had one.
Did he have two or did he have one, Mitch? Do we know? I know I saw one. I thought I heard he had two.
24 unanswered points in that win.
I thought he had. Hold on. Let me go back and find. We want to get this accurate here, everybody. Do you know right off the top? Do we know? How many? We'll find out.
Yeah, four catches, 66 yards, one touchdown.
One touchdown. Okay, I don't want to miscount. He had one touchdown. Four catches for 66. Good for Amari. Whatever. Anyway, like when they said that they were when they traded him, they said it wasn't a fire sale. Well, if it's not a fire sale, then like you have veterans on the team. Well, you would put the veteran quarterback out there. If you're not going to put the veteran quarterback out there, that means you plan to separate from some of the veterans on your team. And you're going to figure out what you have because you're planning for 2025. You're planning for 2025. So if you saw Cam Ward have their great big game offensively against Louisville, then fine, dust off that argument. If you saw Garrett Nussmeier play so well here over the last few weeks and that comeback against Ole Miss last week, then get that argument ready. If you saw Quinn Ewers and you believe that he's the second coming, fine and dandy, go ahead. And of course, there is the great Shador Sanders over at Colorado, because you got four guys who are the leaders in the barn right there for who you may take. I mean, it's staring you guys right in the face of what this is. And especially even before this injury, but now especially after the injury, it's right there in front of you. Because it's still, I don't know how this is all going to shake out. It's the only quarterback that you can afford that's going to get anybody excited. Unless Jameis is clearly, because he'll eventually, if this continues to go this way, he should eventually start. And unless he completely is reclaimed and they win a bunch of games towards the end of the year, then maybe there's a change over there. Maybe there's a different conversation there. But I mean, you're going to probably, at this level, you're 1-6. I don't give you a great, what's the spread next week against the Ravens?
It was 10.5.
Holy.
We're looking
Tuesday.
At college spreads now.
Okay. So that's, I mean, you're looking, by the bye week, you're looking 1-8 or 2-7. I'm dead in the face.
Yeah,
that's
the only other question.
You're getting ready for number one pick territory.
Okay, since we're talking about, the only other question now is of the quarterbacks. Again, if DTR can play, if his finger or whatever it is,
yeah,
is healthy enough to play, can you evaluate everybody else on this offense? Does it matter who the quarterback is in evaluating them? Like with Deshaun, it was getting hard. It was getting hard. If he's not going to look off the first read, as Adam Archuleta was pointing out yesterday consistently, then even Deshaun had good numbers going into the break, at least completion percentage, but he was getting crushed for not looking down the field and taking advantage.
Oh, Archuleta was highlighting that.
Of some opportunities. So can they evaluate the offense and everything with DTR the same as they can with Jameis?
Yes. Are you talking about guys on the offensive line, wide receivers?
Everything. Because it was getting hard to evaluate. Yes. Was it not? Like, with Deshaun, it was getting hard to evaluate the rest of the team.
But you can also look at it and go, hey, is my quarterback holding on to the ball too long? Is he bailing out of the pocket? Are his eyes up the field? Because then I look and I go, hey, is Jerry Jeudy, is he extending routes? Is he extending plays? Same thing with Elijah Moore. And Elijah Moore is probably a poor example because he's more than likely gone after the season. Cedric Tillman. Jamari Thrash whenever he gets his chance. And then you look at the offensive line. All right, I'm going to use Jed Wills as an example, even though that's... let me use Zach Zinter since he's a rookie. If Zach Zinter comes into play and he gives up a sack, all right, did he give up the sack or was the quarterback holding on to the ball for 6 seconds? Because they're the best in the world. So if they're the best in the world at what they do, then you're eventually going to get blown by. You can't hold the block up forever. So like these are things that you're constantly evaluating. Your job is to make sure they don't turn into excuses because it does become a confirmation bias. Hey, I drafted Zach Zinter. It can't be Zach Zinter's fault. Hey, I drafted so-and-so. It can't be their fault. And that's something you're constantly battling. And that's why the fans at the end of this season, like because Deshaun Watson is hurt, does it mean that Kevin Stefanski's safe? Does it mean that Andrew Berry's safe? To some people, as of Monday after yesterday's game, yes. Well, we'll figure out after Monday after the Ravens game because these things are set to change. Because as time goes on, you don't know if you trust the people who are going to make these decisions for the future.
And
so they are
critical.
Not out of the woods.
Did you see who was at the game yesterday?
Paul DiModesta.
Yes, Paulie D was in the house yesterday. What? I can't even imagine between...
You notice the weather was perfect yesterday, too.
Oh, it was immaculate.
Just saying. Ain't gonna come here in bad weather. Anthony and Shaker, gotta go quick. Go.
Yeah, real quick, man. I think what the deal was that we were just happy for the change. We have been begging them for the last 3 weeks. Get him out of there. Let's do something to spark the offense. And then they so stubbornly just kept playing him. They kept playing him just like they did Baker Mayfield when he was struggling. We was asking, can you just give us a spark to the offense? You know, let him sit him down for a little while. And they didn't do it. And I believe that the Deshaun probably would not have gotten hurt if this organization, from the top to the bottom, had just not been so stubborn, want to prove their point with their new toy, that he's going to break out of all this. And they were just stubborn, man.
Well, Anthony, I'd love to agree with you, but it's and thank you very much for the call. We've had several people share those thoughts. It was non-contact. So, I mean, it could have happened with him coming down the steps. It could have happened with him. I mean, it's a freak accident, and it's a shame that it happened like that. It's a shame.